I want to read to you, if you want to turn there, from Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. Paul was writing to the churches in Galatia. And in his comments he said, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you as always for your presence in our hearts and in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our church, and in our purpose. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. All because you, a perfect and holy God, saw fit to come to this world so that you might teach us, so that you might give us an example, but most importantly of all, so that you might suffer the penalty for our sin and conquer death once and for all. We celebrate that because it makes our eternal life possible. We celebrate you because you're the one who has made it possible. Lord, we thank you for the ability to be here this morning. We thank you for your perfect and holy word. And we just ask in Jesus' name at this time that you bless the next few moments as we've gathered together. We've sacrificed time. We've sacrificed sleep. We've sacrificed unto you this time here today, Lord, in expectation and anticipation of a blessing from the throne of heaven and earth. So we thank you in advance for that. We know it's good because it comes from you, and you are the one that is truly good. For as always, it's in Christ's name we gather, it's his name we sing our praises to, and it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I trust everybody's had a good week. I know I have. I let the weather affect my mood too much. The confession. I'm going to confess my sins. I've been talking about joy for months, and weather like we've had the last couple of days brings your preacher a lot of joy. Now, I'm telling you, it does. It's been good stuff. Invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 again this morning. We see so much in these Christmas stories, and we've been hearing them all of our lives. And just want to share with you a few things that might be a blessing to us this morning from the passage that we read just a couple of weeks ago, as I believe the Lord has led me to this morning. We'll read Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 this morning. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. In all of the Bible, in all of the story of Christmas that we'll have a program about here in just a little bit, that's really good, by the way, in all of God's Word and in this very story, we see that Jesus hasn't even arrived yet, but the Christmas story begins according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. What we see is the very nature of God. We see God in action. We see God for who He is. What do we see of God for who He is in the verses that we've read this morning? Here's what we see very clearly intertwined in this story. We see the God Almighty in His amazing grace. Is grace. What is Christmas all about? What do we sing about? What are the words that keep coming about? It's joy and peace, is it not? Peace on earth and mercy mild. Joy. I'll tell you something, if you don't hear anything else, and we'll drive this point home this morning, there can be no peace and no joy without grace. There can be no peace and there can be no joy without His amazing grace. Before we go any further on that, I want us to understand a couple of things that Matthew and his students possibly wrote down here this morning. We see that he says his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, Mary and Joseph, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. You understand, at this point in the story, Christ is in her. He's in her womb. Christ is inside of Mary. That is a distinction that we think, wow, that would be awesome. Let me tell you something this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have Christ in you. The Bible teaches that you have the very same Christ in you by the very same Spirit. Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." We can go on and on about that, and we probably will somewhere in the future. But he goes on to say, "Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" He is in you, is what Paul wrote. He wrote to the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ," as we read earlier, "and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." So we think, well, Mary had Jesus inside of her womb. You and I, if we know Jesus Christ, we also have Christ in us. And just as we said a couple of weeks ago, Mary was not sinless. We have that in common with her as well. You and I are not sinless. For us to have Christ in us, for her to have Christ in her, is by the very grace of God that such a thing would be allowed. We had a Christmas tree ornament at our house, had being the optimal word, and it was my wife's favorite. The little glass snowman, and it had snow inside of it. It was only about Gaby. Ava took a liking to it. And you know what a 3-year-old who loves to hold on to a glass ornament and hardwood floors result in? Running the vacuum before you run out the door already late. There can be no joy, there can be no peace without grace. We all make mistakes, and we've all done things to damage something that was precious. But by God's amazing grace, He has let us hold on to something that is more precious than any object could ever be. And that's His very presence. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a responsibility. Oh, all this pressure is killing my joy and peace, preacher. Move on. All right, I'll do it. We'll move on. Let's carry on in the story, and for a minute, we understand how it goes. We've heard it 1,000 times. You're Joseph, and you find out Mary's pregnant. She comes to you, and she says, we got to talk. And if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes for just a minute, or sandals, I guess, would be more likely the case. Let's say you find out that you're going to marry this girl and you get engaged. Something we can all relate to. Most of us can relate to. We're going to get engaged. We can understand a situation like that. And then she comes to you all of a sudden and tells us that her fiancé does and says, okay, just sit down for a minute. Let me finish before you react. I am pregnant. All right? And that's something that we probably can't relate to at that point. And in an effort to explain herself, she tries to tell him that this was not a man that caused this situation. Rather, it was the Almighty God that has caused this. As modern-day Christians, we've heard this story all of our lives. We've heard it since we were little children, that is exactly the way it went. We hear it time and time again, and we don't grasp it for what it is. We take the explanation at face value. Well, of course it was the Holy Spirit. Of course it was. But if you're Joseph at that moment, that's a lot to bite off. That's a lot to chew. In reality, if we were in his shoes at that moment, very few, if any of us in this room would have bought it. Now, would we? Very few, if any of us, would have believed that situation. And we know, according to what Matthew wrote, that Joseph didn't either. It says he planned to divorce her until God came to him in the dream and spoke to him. So Joseph didn't believe it right off the bat either. The very incarnation story. We begin to see it unfurl and develop. And we begin to understand the mystery and the controversy
and just how foolish it was. And I don't mean foolish as in there's no way that's possible. I mean foolish in the sense that the incarnation story of Jesus Christ flies in the face of every level of human wisdom. And on the very level that Joseph was standing on, you find out that your fiancée is pregnant, and what does he decide to do? Well, I'm going to divorce her quietly, and then he decides not to at all. We take it a step further and compare Joseph's response to what maybe we would do. Placed in his position, many people would not just become doubtful. A lot of us would become what? We'd become very angry, would we not? If we were in his situation. So hurt would we be that the natural reaction of the flesh is to lash out with anger and malice and to be enraged, to want to be vengeful. When somebody hurts you to the very core like that, what the flesh does is say, I want to see them suffer for what they have done to me. It's an attitude that God could have taken with us, but by His amazing grace, He did not. Somebody hurts you, somebody hurts your feelings, you want to see justice, don't you? That's natural. Well, they ought to have to, whatever the situation is. That's not grace. That's not how the story goes. You see, we're not perfect, and Joseph wasn't perfect. You understand that Joseph wasn't perfect. If Mary had been unfaithful to Joseph, she would have been unfaithful to a man who had been unfaithful to God. And so there is no justice. There is no justice in any of it. We all have been unfaithful to the Almighty God. What we do when we sin. And so we're very much in the same shoes as he had been as well. But to get mad, to get angry, to take vengeance was not Joseph's response. His response was, initially, I'm going to divorce her quietly so as not to expose her, Matthew says, to public disgrace. Again, we're so familiar with that wording. So as not to expose her to public disgrace. We hardly give a thought to this decision. But let's talk about this for just a second. Do you understand the magnitude of the decision? Do you understand the magnitude of the grace that Joseph is about to show Mary at that point in the story? Gonna divorce her quietly. We've been studying Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights for, 18 months, it seems like, okay? Slowly but surely we're working our way through the book of Deuteronomy. And by the grace of God, we will finish, okay? By the grace of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, and just a few weeks ago we read it. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, we read in the law of the Lord as handed down through Moses. In verse 20 it says, if, however, the charge is true and no proof of the young woman's virginity can be found, she is to be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of the town shall stone her to death. She has done an outrageous thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. What Joseph was doing for Mary was more than just, I'm going to save her face. What Joseph was doing for Mary was he was going to save her life. That's grace. If there's ever been a such thing as grace, it's not being stoned. And so that's what we see in the character of Joseph in this very story. And as an aside note, all the parables, all the stories, all the miracles, all the teachings that you find in your Gospels, stick to the New Testament. It's put in perfect context when we understand a book like Deuteronomy. It helps us to understand exactly what was going on, exactly what Jesus meant, exactly what God's Word is all about, exactly what His grace is when we understand it in light of the context of who God is. So Joseph's character comes into clear focus, comes into sharper focus. He shows Mary amazing grace. In not taking Mary's explanation at face value, he's very human and he's very relatable. But at the same time, despite this unbelief, despite the fact that her story is extremely hard to swallow, he doesn't let anger or rage get the better of it. Here's what Joseph shows you and I this Christmas season. Listen very carefully. In the situation where he's been hurt, in the situation where the story is very hard to believe, in the situation where the law says, do this, Joseph still values Mary as a person, as someone he loved, He values her as a child of God. This person who has harmed him, he values enough to show her grace. An amazing grace at that. And as we read, God makes it clear that he's not abandoned Joseph. He says, listen, I got this. We'll take care of it. We'll close with this. There's a psychologist scale called the Holmes Ray scale. H-O-L-M-E-S is one word, and R-A-H-E is the other. I know you don't care, but you understand it. Just want to help you understand that those are two people's names. And the Holmes Ray scale assigns points to various life stresses, things in life that cause us stress. It assigns points to them. They're called LCUs, or life change units, things that cause us stress. And they concluded that if an individual experiences as much as 300 LCUs, then they are in very serious danger of physical illness, did Dr. Holmes and Dr. Ray. Listen to a few of the number of assignments given on the scale. Marital separation, 65 points. Just marriage, 50 points. You remember your wedding? Sorry, ladies. Marital reconciliation, 45 points. Pregnancy, 40 points. Adding a new family member, 39 points. Change in financial state, 38 points. Trouble with in-laws, 29. Change in living conditions, 25. Change in working conditions, 20 points. Change in residence, 20 points. Change in church activities, 19 points. Change in social activities, 18 points. Change in sleep habits, 16. Minor violation of the law, 11 points. Okay, Mary and Joseph could have, and actually did, conceivably experience every single one of these for a total of 435 LCUs. Remember back, 300 possible physical illness. And that doesn't even count divorce, which, by the way, is 73 points, which was obviously threatened and considered and came very close to happen. It doesn't include jail term, which is 40 points, although it did minor violations of law, which is 11 points, which, as we mentioned, we have violated Jewish law, would Mary have, had this thing that she could be accused of happen and could have resulted in stoning to death. Point is this, Joseph was under a lot of stress, like we can be every Christmas, like we can be every single day, like work can do to you, like your kids can do to you, like church can do to you, like a Christmas play can do to you, put you under a lot of stress. And here's the way he responded. Very simply, he responded with grace. Would you think about a situation or relationship for just one moment where there is a lack of peace, where there is a lack of joy? Think about a situation or relationship that experiences that for a minute. Let me tell you how to get the peace and joy back. Show grace. Extend the grace. Give the grace. Shovel out the grace. Pour out the grace. Cover it with grace. And the joy and peace can return. There can be no joy. There can be no peace if there is no grace. This Christmas, if we want to experience it in the power that we absolutely could, if we want to see it be the best Christmas that it's ever been, and I hope and I pray for you and your families, every single one of us, that that will absolutely be the case. I want to challenge us all at some point to find a situation where we can just show grace. Buy something for somebody. Pay something for somebody. Give something to somebody. And don't think about, well, do they deserve it? Or should I do this? Don't be thinking about, well, if I give them this, I mean, are they in this situation because of decisions that they've made? Are they in this situation because of mistakes? No. Let's try for just a month. It's a couple of weeks. It's 12 days. Grace means no qualification. Means no reason. Just grace. That'll bring the joy. That'll bring the peace. I promise you by the Word of God, that's a promise. Show the grace. We close with this. In this very situation that we read about here. Being pregnant is the what. It's a big deal. God is the why. And once again, we see that the why is always greater than the what. The why always means more than the what. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's hurt your feelings. We got options. You can You can go to them and you can ask them, why? Help me understand. Most of the time we don't know. Most of the time we don't know the fullness of the situation. We don't know what they're going through. Joseph had prepared to divorce her quietly because he didn't know all the detail yet. But when he found out all the details, grace came easy. So we can ask, we can talk, we can hash it out. Or another option is to just show the grace. Because there's no joy and there's no peace without it. I think that's one of the things, maybe not the greatest, maybe not even in the top 10, but I think it's a very big and very good and very awesome reason why Jesus came to start with. Amen? Forgive and you shall be forgiven. By the grace given to you, give also of it freely, so that you might have joy and you might have peace. Amen? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we cannot take another step. We cannot think another thought. We cannot ponder another thing until we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your grace on us. And Lord, we claim the promise this morning that you want us to live life to the fullest, that you have a plan for us to prosper us and not to harm us, that you would like to see us have our joy be complete. And it can be found, Lord, through your grace, by your grace, and by us also showing that grace. You are a God of forgiveness, and we belong to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a Lord of forgiveness, and we follow him. Help us, O Lord, to try and to accomplish giving grace to those around us so that we might know the joy and peace that you have in store for us. For in it all will be found a blessing like Joseph found. He got to live in Jesus' house. Jesus got to live in his as well. We love you, Lord, and we thank you as always for all that you're doing and all that is to come. In Christ's precious name. Amen. Whatever God may be laying on your heart through the power of his word this morning, if you're struggling with the whole concept, if you're feeling a little bit hit right here or right there on the toes or something like that, praise the Lord for it. But I want to encourage you, and I pray that you will respond to it however he is calling you to. And there's no time like the present.